This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $170,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by a few recipients of a Sustainability Challenge Grant. The Challenge Grant program is entering its third year with $200,000 in funding available for large-scale projects aimed at enhancing sustainability on our campus and in our community. The SSC has proudly contributed a fraction of this funding each year of its existence. The applications for the Sustainability Challenge Grant program is now open and can be found at uky.edu/sustainability. Today I'm joined by Eduardo Santillan Jimenez, a faculty member here at UK, as well as Carter David and Jessica Moore, both undergraduates involved with a project called From Seed to STEM. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So can you start by giving me a general overview about what this project is about?
Sure. Well, first, it's no secret that not many K-12 students go on to pursue careers in science, engineering, technology, mathematics, STEM kind of fields. And so for us, developing tools that would be engaging and, if you will, inspirational to these K-12 students, in order for them to contemplate maybe pursuing studies and a career in these areas, was pretty important, either for teachers that use these tools in their classroom or for scientists in their outreach efforts to K-12 schools. And so this one project was meant to take one of these tools that we had developed in a board game type of configuration and turned that into a video game, trying to make this more engaging, more interactive, and more effective, more easy to use for all the people that would be using it.
Most definitely. So what is this game comprised of? What's the goal or the message of it?
Well, the game is actually designed to teach students about the conversion of different starting materials to fuels and for them to learn about the environmental and economic impacts of this particular transformation. So in the board game version of the game, on the left side of the board game, we have starting materials, and on the right side, you have a gas pump. And basically, students need to navigate this board, making decisions as to what starting material to use, what conversion process to go through in order to basically transform their starting material to fuel.
Absolutely. So how did the idea behind this project come about? Where did you guys see the need for this, and how does that show in the project?
The Center for Applied Energy Research, where I work at, has a very, very active outreach program covering a number of initiatives. One of these initiatives is a scientist in the classroom type of effort in which CAR researchers go to elementary schools and basically take hands-on type of activities that students can participate in for them to reinforce what they learn in class. The Center for Applied Energy Research has research on, say, batteries or power generation. And so these guys, these researchers were able to come up with, say, your typical lemon battery or a little power generator that you can turn and turn on an LED. I work with biofuels. And so most biofuels work involves high pressures and high temperatures and explosive gases. So nothing that you want to, you know, have children get close to.
Ideally.
Yes. And so we came up with a representational game, if you will, where they're exposed to the content, but not to the dangers inherent to the research.
That's fantastic. So how does this project fit in with the three pillars of sustainability, being economic viability, social equity, and environmental integrity?
Well, for the economic viability, Carter came up with a business plan through his participation in the venture studio, so he would be the perfect person to answer this one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so last fall, there was the venture studio boot camp on campus, essentially taking students interested in business and in various fields and pairing them up with different projects running on campus. And with my knowledge of video game design, I was paired up with this project. And essentially what I did was I worked with other business students to create a plan to enable this project to stay sustainable in the long term. Mm.
Most definitely. I'd like to hear from each of you about what your role in this project is. We've touched on it a little bit already, but what your role is and how you became involved with it. So we can start with you if you'd like.
Okay, I can start. My role was mainly graphic-oriented. I created the graphics that everyone sees when they play the game. And I became involved first through a studio project that my class worked on last semester, where we sort of explored the idea of what this game would look like. And then I continued the work over the summer, really just representing all of the different elements and all of the whole process graphically so that students will be able to better understand it.
Personally, I kind of invented the game as one of those activities that we take to elementary schools, although in its original incarnation, this was, well, of all things, first it was a scavenger hunt type of activity, mm-hmm. And we had students running around an actual building looking for, you know, different things, so on and so forth. As we took this to schools where we were limited by, you know, classroom kind of setting, this morphed into the board game. And eventually, we decided if we're going to take this to more and more places or we want to reach more and more students, then this needs to be digital. And my role has always been to sort of like provide the scientific content, if you will, coordinate also with teachers to make sure that it's aligned with their curriculum, so on and so forth. But when the process turned into a digital version development or a video game development, then that's where it went to Carter.
Yeah, and I kind of already said a little bit about how I got involved through the Venture Studio Boot Camp, working on a business plan for the sustainability part of this. And then during the process of that, I built a small prototype showing what this game could look like. And then afterwards, Eduardo asked me to come on as the primary programmer behind it, as well as a consultant on the world of video games.
Which I know very little about.
A very important role in this sort of project. So what is the overall timeline for the project?
So basically, Carter, with his involvement in the venture studio, was pretty much the first external person to the Center for Applied Energy Research that was brought in from within UK. So that was...
It was fall 2015.
Correct. And then we applied for the Sustainability Challenge Grant, which we were fortunate enough to get last year. And that allows us to start working with more UK students. So for instance, students over at the College of Education, as well as students over at the College of Design, as Jessica was saying, started participating in the project. The College of Education students would make sure that we are aligned with the science curriculum, that we're using best practices from an educational standpoint, so on and so forth. They put forward a series of recommendations that then went to students over at the College of Design. And as Jessica was saying, they came up with what Carter calls the gameplay, or the part of the game that an actual user interacts with. Mm-hmm. And around these, basically, Carter came up with the game engine, which is the code that runs the entire game, and that's where we are right now. That prototype that Carter produced is being beta tested, if you will, with a number of people. During the summer, we had the students participating in the Sea Blue STEM Camp, use this as one of their activities, and they gave us feedback that then we incorporate into the game. Currently, the students participating in the STEMCATS program at UK are also helping us basically test this game and making sure that, you know, everything works fine and giving us input that we can incorporate into the game as well. So that's where we are right now. In the next couple of weeks, we will be basically coming up with like a final version of the game, and then the College of Education students can take them to the schools that they go to as teachers in training.
Awesome. So I'd like to hear from everyone on this topic, but I'll start with you, Jessica, about what your long-term goals for this project would be, what you hope to see both on a UK level and in the community.
I think it would be really cool if this was widely incorporated into science curriculum, at least in the local area, that this was something that really helps students better understand sustainability and sort of what it looks like as far as fuels go, and that it really led them into science fields later, I guess made an impact in their lives.
Absolutely.
I definitely agree, because that would be like the ultimate goal of this type of project. One of the advantages of turning the game into a digital product, if you will, is then at that point it becomes very versatile. So for instance, you can adapt it to different age groups. Right now we're targeting, say, elementary, middle school students. But since it's digital, it's fairly easy for us to incorporate more sophisticated content, maybe reach high school students or, you know, the public at large, or, you know, have all these versions available for people to basically start with the simplest one and then move on to more and more complex content. So that's something that we can pursue. We're also going to have to get into how to distribute the game, right? Putting it into different platforms, making sure that it's widely available. And also we can continue to investigate ways in which the model that we have come up with to develop this one game can be applied to other fields. For instance, you can imagine using the same type of approach for sustainable fishing, or, you know, recycling, or, you know, sustainable logging. So basically just making sure that these type of model that we have developed can be used for coming up with different didactic tools.
Yes, as they've already said, I would love to see this game go on and become a part of curricula all over the place, and not just it, but games like it, games that use entertainment and education to draw students in to sustainable fuels, into sustainable fishing, as you mentioned, and other things that may at first not seem especially interesting to children, but they, if they can be drawn in, they can discover maybe that's where their passion in life lies.
Absolutely.
It'd be wonderful if they could discover something they're really passionate about at an age where many students are like, eh, I'm bored with math and science.
That's a very easy feeling to get once you get around that age range.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely. So, again, I'd like to hear from each of you about what the biggest challenge in your individual role has been thus far, and sort of how you anticipate overcoming that. So I'll direct that at you, Carter, first.
So, of course, my role is mainly on the technical side of things, programming the actual game and making sure that it runs. I would say the biggest challenge is just making sure that the game runs smoothly on all of the platforms that we're looking to or considering targeting, and ensuring that it is a easy to use and easy to understand experience, because many, many games in the past have been dragged down by a poor experience that ruins a really great idea.
Personally, the biggest challenge has been to basically get out of my comfort zone and start talking to people that have vastly different backgrounds. So for instance, as I was saying, I know precious little about a video game development, actually nothing. And so for somebody like that to talk to Carter, for instance, that, you know, knows a fair amount of all this, and, you know, being able to get onto the same page, that has, you know, taken a fair amount of back and forth. Sometimes, you know, like we have to basically shut down a crazy idea just because there's a cost-benefit analysis. You know, mm-hmm. like Carter would say, that's a great idea, but that will take a limited amount of time and resources that we obviously don't have.
Right.
So, you know, so basically keeping everything just in the realm of possibility has been a challenge. And, you know, for that matter, the interaction with the College of Design students and Jessica, for instance, you know, is the same thing. I really have no idea of how much effort it takes to turn a concept into a graphic, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it was just basically a very organic back and forth. You know, she would come up with drafts and I would like offer some suggestions and she would work on that. So it's definitely not something that I have experience with, neither, you know, video game development or graphic design, but I think it worked fairly well.
Mm-hmm. I think for me the hardest thing was I don't come from a science background at all, so I was representing a lot of things that I didn't understand, so I had to do a little bit of Googling to sort of understand what it was that I was creating and wanted to make sure that it was accurate.
Most definitely, I can really stall out a process. We are actually going to take a quick break and we will be right back with more talk about the Sustainability Challenge Grant. Welcome back. I am Lauren Thomas, the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council, and I'm joined by some UK community members talking about a current Sustainability Challenge Grant program called From Seed to STEM. I'd like to preface this question by mentioning that my absolute favorite part about the Challenge Grant program is how interdisciplinary it is, how much exposure and experience it gives to people in the UK community and the Lexington community to different disciplines that they never would have gotten to experience before. So with that being said, that's a huge part of the application process and making sure that that's going to be touched on for all participants. And so every recipient has taken a lot of care to incorporate that into their project. So with that being said, what sort of campus and community partners are helping out with the From Seed to STEM project?
Well, that's a great point because we're actually encouraged to mm-hmm. reach out to as many units on campus as possible and to reach beyond the university, so involve the community as well. So that's one of the main tenets of the Sustainability Challenge Grant. Our project in particular, as I was saying, involves faculty and students from the College of Education. So professors Margaret Moore Schroeder, Britt Criswell, Lisa Amick, and their respective students helped us with this project. Outside of the university, but still in the educational realm, if you will, we've also worked with Fayette County Public Schools. Mm-hmm. So a number of science teachers in the community have been very, very supportive of this project for a number of years, before even we received the Sustainability Challenge Grant. So Julie Jones at Russell Cave Elementary, Christy Furr at Liberty and Cassidy Elementary, and Josh Ratner over at Yates Elementary have been involved in this project from the get-go and actually have been working with CAR in its scientist and in the classroom program for many, many years. And inside of the university, we've also involved faculty and students at the College of Design. So Jessica may want to comment on that.
Yes, we, my professor, Rebecca Radke, got us my entire studio involved in this project, and we used it as, I guess, part of our curriculum for last semester, is exploring how design related to other fields, and then I also worked on it independently.
And over at the College of Engineering, Carter has been involved and also received funding from the research summer.
Yes, I received the summer research grant so that I could keep working on this project throughout the summer.
That's awesome. So, touching on more of the logistics side of this, how is this going to be dispersed into the schools? How are these schools and students that are going to participate, how are they going to be chosen?
Well, one of the great things about having this game in the digital form is that A, it's way easier to transport than anything else that we have used so far. So right now we have to haul around like an actual board game with pennies and quarters that we use as points and as a game piece. So it's pretty comical to see a bunch of like scientists, you know, struggling, you know, getting into a school with like all these things. Only part of the game was digital, and that was some flashcards that we use. But now everything is turning into basically a digital product that we can load onto a tablet, or we can share with students for them to load it in computers. And an additional degree of flexibility comes with the fact that now we can choose how to use this. A student may choose to basically, you know, play it on his or her own, you know, anybody's house, if you will, or a public library or what have you. In another mode, we can actually take these tablets to school and, you know, use it in a scientist in the classroom type of like setting. Teachers may choose to like use it on their classes, either in their science class or in science clubs. So once that we have this as a digital product, it turns into a very, very flexible and versatile tool that we can use.
Most definitely. So we touched on the sort of economic viability point of this earlier, but I'd like to return to the question of the three pillars of sustainability in regards to the social equity and environmental integrity pillars. How do you see this tying in with those themes?
In terms of social equity, this work will definitely serve to advance social equity, not only because we actually target traditionally underserved schools. So schools that have a considerable percentage of minority and or free and reduced lunch students. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I was mentioning schools in the area, you know, like Russell Cave, it's a great example. You know, it's a school that can definitely use all the assistance that, you know, they can get. Something that the teachers stressed is that whenever we visit their schools, they wanted for us to talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the rationale for that is that they wanted like students to realize, you know, that scientists come in all different shapes, sizes, genders, you know, and backgrounds. And for instance, I'm originally from Mexico, and every single time that I introduce myself, you know, I would hear like a gasp when I would say I'm originally from Mexico. And when I ask, you know, is somebody else here from Mexico, you know, just like a bunch of hands would go up. And later on, Julie, their science teacher, would tell us that's really important, you know, like at the end, you know, like she would hear students saying, you know, like, oh, you know, like maybe I can also do like engineering or, you know, this or that. And that's precisely what we're trying to accomplish here. So in terms of social equity, it goes back to like the target audience, but also the students at UK that we're developing this for. We work with a number of students, particularly engineering students. And in a program that I also direct, they are engaged in a number of outreach activities. So we want to provide them with a tool that it's easy to use for them to become engaged in outreach service type of initiatives, basically to lower that activation energy. And when they do that, it's the same thing. K-12 students would be exposed to inspirational individuals, mm-hmm. basically engineering college students that look like them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that also can set that spark off. You know, I can also be an engineer. I can also be a scientist.
It's so important. Absolutely. And the environmental aspect is absolutely clear. You're teaching about energy and sustainability and efficiency. And it's so important to really inspire that spark in them. And so many people discover the passion for those sort of things at that age. So what you guys are doing is absolutely awesome and very important.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. That's all I have for you. But yeah, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So some closing announcements. Next week is UK Water Week. There are events around campus focusing on water quality and conservation all week long. More info on Water Week and the events mentioned can be found on Facebook at UK Water Week. Again, the Sustainability Challenge Grant Program is currently accepting applications for next year's funding. There is $200,000 up for grabs in funding for projects that target the sustainability culture at UK and around Lexington. Those are due on October 16th, and any questions can be directed at Shane Tedder at shane.tedder, T-E-D-E-D-D-E-R, at uky.edu, or directed at our website, uky.edu/sustainability. As always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and announced on our website in advance. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/UKYSSC or follow us on our new Twitter of the same name. I'll be around next week featuring another funded project from the SSC. Thanks much for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.